Welcome or welcome back. Omokyanas mirandasya kenanjana shalakaya chakshun militam dina tasmai sri gurave namah sri chaitana manavistam lusana sthapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamaiham tathati vishvapadamikam. Again, welcome. Has everyone heard our disclaimer? Anyone who hasn't heard the disclaimer for the course? You don't have to worry about it. And everyone else has heard it? Okay. He's my disciple, so I don't have to tell him, you know, if your spiritual master disagrees with me. Okay, I'm changing our format a little bit. I'm going to finish everything today, so that for the next 2 days I can give the course again for a fresh set of people, compressing everything into 2 days. So it means we may spend a little less time on questions, but it also means you get more for your money. You get all the whole thing in a small package. Okay? We were talking yesterday about various unauthorized mantras. Now we're going to talk about tunes. Srila Prabhupada was very strict. This is Harikesh Swami again. Very strict in the melody sung during the Mangalarti. He wanted the morning melody and nothing else. He would sometimes stop kirtans if other melodies were sung in the morning. Of course, he was not always doing that, but when he was nearby and there was someone to appreciate the point, he would correct the mistake. He further says, we were chanting Mangalarti within the room of Srila Prabhupada each morning. Sometimes Prabhupada would appreciate the singing, and sometimes not. Later on in the morning, after a particularly bad kirtan, Prabhupada called me into his room and complained about the singing. He said, again, more or less, I did not like the singing in the morning. The morning melody must be sung throughout the Mangal Arti, and no other melody should be sung. It should be sung sweetly and melodiously, like this. And he proceeded to sing the first verse of the Samsara prayer in a very sweet and melodious voice, with perfect inflection and musical accent. Prabhupada was very insistent that the singing should be done in that way only. He indicated that he wanted me to lead the kirtans in the morning as a way to establish the standards within the temple. Everyone knows what the morning tune is? Does everyone know the morning tune? Who doesn't know? You don't know. Okay. For your benefit and the benefit of the rest of us. That we should sing and nothing else. That's what we hear. These days I've heard very often a kind of formulaic Mangalarti. They start with the morning tune, and then at a certain point They sing a melody that's become popular in ISKCON Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare, right? And then after that, that's like the signal, that's like the flag. And once they've raised that flag, it's your signal that after that, there's going to be a medley of other tunes sung. Then they're going to sing, you know, this tune and that tune, each for approximately half a minute at most. And then they're going to break into a rousing chorus of Didi songs and Jai somethings, and then it's going to be over. So I'm glad that they sing that transitional song, because that flag helps me know when it's time for me to go out and chant my rounds. Anyway, you can do what you like, but now you've heard from Srila Prabhupada what he says is the morning tune, and you've heard the report that Prabhupada said that we should chant the morning tune and nothing else. There's a newer thing that's come up also. That's the morning tune double times. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I suggest that if you like that tune, you go out and buy a tuba. A tuba is one of those big instruments that they use in marching bands and used for playing songs made popular by John Philip Sousa and others. Now there may be, of course, there is room for difference of opinion, but my personal opinion is that it takes all the charm out of the melody. Yes?
What about like the slight kind of higher variation, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna?
Yeah, these tunes sometimes have two parts. The Prabhupada chanted that also. That flies. Passes muster. Any other questions about this? Yes?
It seems like we play as a standard that the end of the kirtan is always Hare Krishna.
So it's not a standard that the end of the kirtan has to be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's not the standard. You hear it. You hear lots of tunes at Mangal Arati. I wish we only heard those two. Of the possible alternative tunes, that one bothers me the least. But Prabhupada said just one tune. Why do you... You know, what's the need of changing? The ecstasy does not come from changing tunes. The ecstasy comes from entering deeply into the sound of the mantra. Now, I know that I'm not the last word on these things, but I'm just going by what I've heard Prabhupada say. By the way, the morning tune is not to be sung in the evening. It's the morning tune. You don't sing Udila Aranat at 6 p.m.
Sure.
Yes?
Do you know when devotees are chanting, if they're chanting like a part two, like how do we know if it's a...
How do you know if it's a part two? Well, after a while you get to know what the part twos are. If you go back and listen to some of the old Prabhupada recordings, you'll know what part two is. Basically, part two sticks very close to the melody and then returns to the original melody. If it's... anyway, things that have nothing to do with the original tune are not part two. They're part something else. They're a breed apart. Yes?
On other kirtans, maybe not the Mangal Arati, sometimes devotees chant melodies that have maybe three or four parts.
Well, we'll come to that, but this is the morning tune. If we can just get the morning tune chanted in the morning. Sometimes you never even hear the morning tune, or you hear it only for the Gravastakam, and then we move on to other things. And hence this workshop. Okay? Good. And other people do other things. Again, that's why we have a disclaimer that they're some of my favorite devotees, my favorite kirtan leaders, my best friends. But We don't always see eye to eye. That's what makes ISKCON so wonderful. We can disagree like anything. Okay. Jai Radhe. Ready? This is again Harikesh Maharaj. The next morning I led the kirtan in his room, duplicating the melodious style which he had shown me the day before for the morning tune. Prabhupada was pleased and seemed to enjoy the kirtan. Unfortunately, I fell victim to that demon within the mind and started to speculate a couple of Jai Radhes at the end of the kirtan. This was one of the bigger mistakes made by me at that time. Although there's nothing wrong with Jai Radhe, Prabhupada simply didn't want us to chant it. He once explained that Shukadeva Goswami did not feel himself qualified to chant the name of Radha in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore only indicated her name with the word Aradhana while describing the topmost gopi friend of Krishna. Anyway, to continue the story, I had just started to chant Srimati Radharani's holy name within Vrindavan Dham, her beloved Lord's abode, within the presence of her most intimate devotee, during the most auspicious hours of the day, when her most intimate devotee looked at me with eyes blazing like fire and desirous of initiating my immediate destruction. Voice choked and gagging, I ended the kirtan immediately without further formalities, never again to make the same mistake. Prabhupada never ended kirtans with various extra mantras, especially not Jai Radhe, so why should I? Anyone ever hear a recording of Srila Prabhupada chanting Jai Radhe? Anyone ever hear an ISKCON kirtan lately with Jai Radhe? Okay. Prabhupada simply didn't chant it, and we heard the other day, if I find it quickly. But Prabhupada had said that what our spiritual master has chanted, that's what we should chant. That was the essence of the thing. There are many names of God you can chant, but it's best to take what comes in disciplic succession and what the spiritual master introduces. An intelligent disciple just takes what his spiritual master provides for him, considering that to be sufficient. Is this loud enough, by the way? Is it working at all? Hare Krishna? That's better, isn't it? Okay. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada did not chant Jai Radhe. And in fact, when Prabhupada was taking his morning walk, I saw in Vrindavan, those days Vrindavan was quiet. Prabhupada used to go on his morning walk. And people would greet him, local residents, morning greeting, they'd say, Jai Radhe. And how would Prabhupada respond? Hare Krishna. Okay, we now come to what I call the deity ditties, which have now become obligatory at the end of every kirtan. That is to say that to end every kirtan you have to chant jai something, radhe, jai, right? Jai, radha, something, something, radhe, something, something, radhe. Prabhupada didn't do it. Never, never, never. It's new. Not so new, but new. Prabhupada didn't do it. Now we're even hearing it in the middle of Mangalarti after Gurvastakam. Are you hearing that? Yes. Sometimes after Nishinga Arti. You know, that's a real interesting combination of sentiments. You're doing Arti to Nishinga. Jai Radhe. Go figure. We're hearing it at the end of Tulsi Puja. We're hearing it at the end of Jai Radha Madhava in Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada simply didn't chant these mantras. And of course, after the Jai Radha, something, something, then naturally you get Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. So a little bit, a little bit, a little change, then another little change. And this way it goes on. From my butterfly collection, just so that you know where this leads, I travel around, and one of the benefits of traveling around is I get to hear some of the choice relatively sound vibrations chanted in our ISKCON temples around the world. Here's one. Jai Radha, Radha Krishna, Radha, Radha Krishna. Yes, I kid you not. These are all, I swear before you, I've heard everything I'm telling you. This one I didn't hear myself, but I was told that by a reliable source they heard Radha Jagannatha Radha. Then there's Jai Nitai Gora Hari Nitai Gora Hari Gora Hari. Or alternatively, Nitai Sachi Sutta Nitai Sachi Sutta Sachi Sutta. So the idea is there's, you just follow the pattern. Something, 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 something. So it fits the same, you know, geometrical pattern, and it fits the beat, so it's bona fide. Hare Krishna. Here in Mayapur, we were talking the other, mentioning the other day that Prabhupada said he didn't like Nitai Gaura Radhe Shyam. He said you should chant the whole Panchatattva mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Rajari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So here's what I've sometimes been hearing in Mayapur. Jaya Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva. Right, that's our shortcut. That's the modern version of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Rajari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Anyone here ever hear Prabhupada chant Jaya Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva? But there it is. Jaya Shala Gamshila, Jaya Shala Gam. Yes, I. Then not in that category of geometrical pattern by another, but another one. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva. If you're dizzy, join the club. Prabhupada's instruction was no new mantras. Do not add anything, do not subtract anything, do not change anything. Any questions? You can chant, Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, chant Jaya Jagannath. He was sitting on the Rath Yatra cart, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was next to him, he told him, chant Jaya Jagannath. Chant Jaya Jagannath is fine. But then it becomes, you know, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Balad, because somebody like found something cool and it gets the devotees going. So that becomes authorized.
In Rath Yatra you can sing only Jagannath.
You can chant Jaya Jagannath. Even if you want to chant that. But then when it starts to become a regular little merry-go-round, then you might think about whether you've gone too far.
And in Radhashtami day we can chant the
You can chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's good. Radharani is included. All energy of the earth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
In morning, Mangalarati, which time Jai Prabhupada can be sung?
Well, you can chant. We'll come to Jai Prabhupada in a second. But while we're talking about Radhashtami, you can also sing. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Prabhupada quoted these song, bona fide songs by the Acharyas. Why do we have to make up something when the Acharyas have given us bona fide songs? It takes a little longer to learn them, but they're bona fide. Okay. Yes? That's found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bona fide verse. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Found in the book. Okay. Now we come to Jai Prabhupada. We can chant Jai Prabhupada. It's very good. In Prabhupada's time also we chanted Jai Prabhupada. But now we're hearing Jai Prabhupada, for example, in the middle of the Gurvastika. Chaturvidashi Bhagavat Prasada. And then after that verse, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Is this the Prabhupada song now? Gurvastika? Is it? No. Maybe some other people have gurus other than Prabhupada that they might be thinking about while this song is being chanted. I grant you they may also be thinking of Prabhupada, but they may also be thinking of their own spiritual master. Prabhupada never, did anyone ever hear Prabhupada in the middle of the Gurvastikam, Jaya Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Anyone ever hear that? But why do it, gang? Why do we have to start adding, you know, ecstatic utterances to the kirtan instead of chanting what we receive in the parampara system? Gurvastikam. And then, alright, so that's the first thing.
Because that one is
appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. No, Prabhupada, any appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada didn't do that. Including on the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada didn't chant his Guru Maharaj's name in the middle of the Gurvastikam song.
But at the time of Pushpanjali, it can be.
Understand, you're racing ahead to something else. First understand this point, that during the Gurvastikam, we chant the Gurvastikam, not Jai Prabhupada, Jai this, Jai that, so many things. Then at the end of the Gurvastikam, some people are being, you know, I don't mind so much someone chants something, but then when it starts to become like the institutional standard and people think, unless you do this, then you're off. Jai Pataka Maharaj tells a very good story about the cat in the basket. Do you know that story? That there was some marriage ceremony and the cat was causing a lot of trouble, so the mother-in-law or someone put the cat in the basket so that she wouldn't disturb. And then the daughter, after that, when she got married, the marriage ceremony is going on, and said, wait, where's the cat in the basket? You can't, when the marriage ceremony is going, you're supposed to have a cat in the basket. You know, my marriage ceremony. So it's not like that. Maybe there was some reason. But now it's become institutionalized that at the end of Gurvastikam you're supposed to chant Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. You may. And you also may not. There is no rule that you're supposed to chant Jaya Prabhupada. And Prabhupada didn't chant Jai Bhakti Siddhanta or anything else like that at the end of Gurvastikam. Yesterday we heard what Prabhupada said should be chanted in the morning, and I will repeat it for the benefit of newcomers. Let's see. Go back to level one. This is the report of what Prabhupada wanted to establish in the temple in Vrindavan. Now I want to establish the standards for kirtan. You may chant as follows. For Mangalarti, the Samsara Dava prayer, then Sri Krishna Chaitanya, then Hare Krishna, nothing else. That's revolutionary, isn't it? Who has ever heard a kirtan in ISKCON temple for Mangalarti that consisted of the Samsara Dava prayer, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, and nothing else? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven out of about 30, 40 people. 30 people, let's say.
The only time I ever heard it led with my...
By me. Of the seven, who's heard someone other than me chant? One, two, three, four. Okay. So this is what we're reading. Prabhupada said should be chanted. Mangalarti, Samsara Dava prayer, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, and nothing else. Yes. This is what Prabhupada said. The report that we're getting, which I have no reason to disbelieve, Samsara Gava, Sri Krishna Chaitana, Hare Krishna, nothing else. As I explained in my disclaimer on other days, my point is not to attack people who are doing something else, but at least to make the world safe for people who want to do it this way. It's not, if you hear some radical kirtan leader chanting Samsara Dava, Sri Krishna Chaitana, Hare Krishna, and nothing else, it's not wrong. It's not like, why isn't he chanting Jai Prabhupada? Is he ripping? Oyamat? What's happened to such and such? As far as we know, this is actually what Prabhupada said should be the standard. It's certainly not wrong. Other things may or may not be wrong, but this is certainly not wrong. And this, in fact, is what Srila Prabhupada did. When we were hearing the morning tune, Prabhupada, after saying this is the morning tune, the next thing he chanted was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And the next thing was Hare Krishna. That's how I heard Prabhupada lead. He didn't chant Jai anybody. He didn't chant Pranam mantras. He didn't chant anybody Hari Bol. He didn't chant Radhe something something. He chanted Purvastakam, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, and nothing else. So that at least should be an acceptable option. And this is what Prabhupada chanted. And according to this report, it's even what he said to chant. It's not mandatory to chant Prabhupada's Pranam mantra in the morning. It's not mandatory to chant Jai Prabhupada. It's not mandatory to chant the names of the deities. And it's not mandatory to chant Nitai Gaura Padibol. And whether it's even good or not, you've heard this. Now you've heard what I've heard. I don't want to go beyond that. Okay? Let me think if there's anything else. At Prabhupada's Guru Puja, Jai Prabhupada is extremely appropriate. Yes? Speed, Prabhupada would speed up, but he wouldn't squeeze out the space in the mantra. You know what I mean by that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And if you speed that up, it becomes Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But it doesn't become Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. I'm not saying that's unbonafide. I'm just saying that I find it unattractive. And rather like a march. And especially when it's chanted fast, too, on top of everything. You know, it's morning, the deities are waking up, and the day is beginning. Anything else? Yes? Loud?
The Guru has to come back to the Mishra, the repeated lines.
Yeah, you can repeat the lines, depending on how much time you want to spend chanting the song. It's all right to chant the lines. And actually there's a way that Prabhupada typically ended Gravastakam. He would chant again the first sloka. Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka. He would repeat. And typically the way he would end is he would again repeat the last line. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. That was Prabhupada's typical way of ending many songs, in fact. He would repeat the first verse and sometimes the last line. And if you do that for Mangalarti, it's very sweet. sweet, actually. Yes, Margie. Is it okay if you sing the pranam prayers? It's a question of okay with whom. I do have a quote to the effect that all we should be chanting is Gurvastakam Shri Krishna Chaitana Hare Krishna and nothing else. If you are going to chant something else, the pranam prayers to Srila Prabhupada is probably the best something else you could chant. But that depends on whether you think it's okay to chant something else in light of this instruction. Okay? Yes? Yeah, Prabhupada typically, and again, it's not a hard and fast rule, you've got to repeat the first verse. Jayadrat Swami said, if you don't repeat the first verse, you're all going to hell. But Prabhupada typically, if you listen to the old recordings, Prabhupada would chant the entire Gurvastakam, then he would chant the first verse again. The whole first verse. And then very often, for example, on the original Hare Krishna recording, the one that's called the Happening Album, Prabhupada ended by chanting several times over Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. So if you do that, it is authorized. Or you are following the example that Prabhupada set on that occasion. By the way, that record album is speeded up electronically by the producer. Yes. Well, let me ask you a question. Did Prabhupada chant the names of the deities? Let me ask you a question. Did Prabhupada chant the names of the deities? Let me ask you a question. Did he? Pardon me? I can't hear you because these people, whoever they are, have not been stopped. Correct. Prabhupada never chanted them. Could you speak slowly and loudly, please?
Is there any appropriate time when one should glorify the deities?
Yes, all the time you should glorify the deities. Can anyone suggest a super excellent mantra for glorifying the deities in the temple?
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. As we read the other day, Prabhupada said we should give importance to chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra more in the kirtan. Yes. You missed yesterday. What's the word on Jai Guru Dev? Prabhupada said this is impersonal. Yes?
In Guruja, so you should not chant the Namo Vishnu Padaya.
No, you can. Very good. Because it's directed to that Guru Puja, which I actually said yesterday is Prabhupada Puja, because you may have, you know, another Guru in addition to Prabhupada or through whom you reach Srila Prabhupada. But this Puja that we perform every day is specifically dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. So if you chant Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra and Jaya Prabhupada, that fits very well. Yes? Do we chant Prabhupada's pranam mantra while offering obeisances to our spiritual master? In the very early days of ISKCON, we chanted Prabhupada's pranam mantra when offering obeisances to anyone. When one devotee would meet another, he'd chant Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya. So, till we learned that there were other mantras for that purpose. If you chant the mantra to your spiritual master, that's sufficient. If you chant Prabhupada's mantra in addition, that's up to you. If you chant only Prabhupada's mantra and not the mantra for your spiritual master, that's weird. I'm going to go on to other topics unless you have a burning question on this one. Okay. While I'm thinking of it, this Prabhupada Loyala Sharan or something like that that's added to the... according to Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, who's quite good in Bengali, he says that's grammatically indefensible. Which stands to reason, because it's not part of the song, it's just something somebody's added, and who knows what they add. You know, somebody comes along and says, I think this song, you could add a little, you know, paprika or something. And it may not work. Yes?
What about
I suppose it's okay. I don't know. Yes? I kind of like the songs the way they're originally written. Now, if you want to add something at your own risk. Yes?
Sometimes devotees have to say,
yeah, but do they know Bengali? Do they know if it works? I don't know Bengali. I don't know if it works. What can I tell you?
When you go for Harinam, we can chant the Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna.
Sure, be my guest. You want, can we chant Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra when you go on Harinam, which means Nagar Sankirtan, which means chanting in the street? Yeah. But what's the main thing to chant on the street?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And nowadays you hear people going out on the street and chanting all sorts of things that people have no idea what they are. Am I right? In the West, they go out in the West and they chant some, you know, Bengali song or some mantra, and it's purifying for sure, but nobody has any clue what it is. No one's going to start humming it. No one's going to remember it. And it's not Hare Krishna. It's called, you know, we've got this great thing. It's so catchy. It's three words only. Anybody can get it. You know, it's like you would pay some ad agency $20 million to come up with something this good. And we have it, and then we put it aside, and we chant, you know, I don't know what. Jaya something, something, Jaya something, something, Jaya something, something, Jaya something, something. And nobody knows what it is. Nobody gets it. And, you know, then people say, oh, Hare Krishna, where have you people been? Because even when we're out there, which is rarely enough these days, we don't even chant Hare Krishna. What's gotten into us? Chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. I don't give you any guarantees for any other mantra. Okay, we're progressing. Now we come to the Nisringa Kirtan. I have a question. Why? Jaya Bhakta Prahlad, Jaya Bhakta Prahlad. What is the reason why it's Bhakta Prahlad? Do you ever hear about Bhakta Haridas Thakur? Bhakta Rupa Goswami? Why Bhakta Prahlad? Yes. I have another answer. Is it? Do they chant it in some other Sampradaya? Sri Sampradaya, they chant Bhakta Prahlad. There's an answer.
Probably the same reason why some people chant Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, because it fits in with
the... Yeah, the first reason is because in modern ISKCON, you always have to end the kirtan with Jai somebody or other. If you didn't end the kirtan with Jai somebody or other, you didn't end the kirtan. So you got it saying Jai somebody or other, and we picked up Bhakta Prahlad. Now, I don't think we have many devotees who know what they do in the Sri Sampradaya, in the Sri Sampradaya. But there happens to be, no offense. But there happens to be one, I guess, South Indian film called Bhakta Prahlad. Right? And it fits the beat. And so we have Jai Bhakta Prahlad, Jaya Bhakta Prahlad. But how about this? Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 699. When a devotee is great, he is called Prabhu. And when he is lesser, he is called Bhakta, or a devotee. Jaya Bhakta Prahlad. He is one of the 12 Mahajans, you know. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 6, Text 99, Purport. Who ever heard Prabhupada chant Jaya Bhakta Prahlad? Anyone? Okay. Rather, Prabhupada had the same way of ending the Nisringa Kirtan. He would simply repeat the refrain, Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya. You know? he didn't feel obliged that you had to do a jaya somebody or other. And I go around and hear jaya Lakshmi Nrisinga and jaya Yoga Nrisinga. I don't even know who all these Nrisinga associates are. Maybe there's some Nrisinga experts who know. I certainly don't. There's nothing wrong with just chanting the mantras. It's okay. Your Nrisinga Dev will not be angry at you. Yes.
Actually, every day this time, Radha Madhava, before National Aarti, at 7 o'clock, they have Nrisinga Kavach. They sing. So, is it all right to sing Nrisinga Kavach?
Nrisinga Kavach means what? Sri Nrisinga Jainishing. Prabhupada told us to add that. So these two songs are bona fide. Sri Nrisinga Jainishinga and Namaste Nrisinga. These are perfectly authorized and we should chant them at the Nrisinga Arti or at the end of your Mangal Arti Kirtan. And all the other stuff, I can't say anything about it except what I've said about it. Okay. Now we come to the Prema Dvani. This Prema Dvani has become another place, another opportunity to recite all sorts of deity names and all sorts of other things. Jai Radha Madhava Ki Jai, Jai Gornitai Ki Jai, as if they weren't included already in the Prema Dvani. The beginning is what? Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gokul. They're included already. The Prema Dvani has a kind of a form to it, perhaps you've noticed. You know, first we offer obeisances to the spiritual master, then to Shri Krishna Chaitanya and company, then Radha Krishna and company. And there's an order. And then now we've loaded up with, you know, again we go back to, because it's the rule now, you've got to glorify the deities. If you didn't mention your deities, you did something wrong. But Prabhupada never did. Let's get what Prabhupada did. Bear with me 10 seconds or so. Let's get it right. Practically always did it. Same chants, same order. Now I've heard him add to the Vrindavan Dham, New Vrindavan Dham when he was in Vrindavan. I've heard him add on appearance days, at the end, such and such Mahotsav, Pijai. I think one time at the Pacific Ocean he said, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. I think at some kirtan I remember he added somebody's name, you know, like Shriman Haigriva Prabhu Ki Jai or something like that. But deity names, I never heard. Never happens. And a whole lot of other stuff that we hear never happens. Yes?
Now, rarely ever hear anyone say Ki Jai.
Yeah, because they're following what folks do in whatever community they've been associating with. And I suppose it's not the end of the world, but Prabhupada used to chant Ki Jai. Yes?
When is the appropriate time to chant?
After the kirtan.
Any kirtan?
Actually, Prabhupada used to chant it, you know, not invariably at the end of every kirtan, but almost always. I remember in particular the deity installation for Radha Kunja Bihari in Detroit. And there were quite a number of kirtans, and at the end of every single one, Prabhupada chanted the whole Prema Dhvani. And I noted it. You know, it wasn't just I did it once, okay, it's done. Everyone, Prabhupada did it. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that at the end of each and every kirtan, if you don't chant the Prema Dhvani, we're going to send the kirtan police after you. But Prabhupada, at least on that occasion, did. And practically at the end of, certainly if there was like a formal kirtan, like before the, like in the evening arti or evening kirtan, Prabhupada always did. Yes, Radha Madhava at the end of Radha Madhava, Prabhupada did it. Almost practically always, Prabhupada did it. And he didn't add stuff, but he did. Yes? Well, there's some controversy about this. Gaudiya Math does it a little differently, and they say this is how it was done in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time. Prabhupada used to chant Gop Gopinath, right? Gop Gopinath or Gop Gopinath, I'm not sure which. But they apparently chant something else. Again, not the end of the world. Yes? Who are these people? What are they doing? Who are they and what are they doing? Should I go to the office and tell them that, you know, something else is going on next door and they should just clamp down? They're making? Well, I don't care what they're doing. They have to do it loud. They can't talk to one another in such a way that they might actually be pretending that something is going on next door. All of them are workers? None of them are our men? Okay. Then go tell them to be quiet. Tell them we're having a program here and we're going to cut their pay in half unless they be quiet. Thank you. Did we answer your question? Or did it get cut off? I've lost my place. Loud. What? Well, we may do it. Prabhupada didn't. Oh, all glories to Sri Guru and Granth. Yeah, devotees used to chant that afterwards. It's just something they started doing and Prabhupada didn't object. Prabhupada actually used to end by saying, thank you very much. If I did that, they'd shoot me, but that's what Prabhupada did. Presumptuous fool, but that's what Prabhupada did. Okay. While we're at it, now that I'm thinking about it, it's just a personal editorial observation. You know, editors don't like redundancies and things like that. You'll notice that Prabhupada in chanting this Prema Dhvani didn't add any srilas to his spiritual master's name. No extra srilas, no Jaya Mishnupad, Paramahansa, Pari Prajakacharya, Stotra Satashi, Srimad, Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, no extra srilas. You know, we may say Prabhupada said Srila Prabhupada when he was speaking about his spiritual master, but to the Prema Dhvani he didn't add any extra srilas. Catch the point? They're not required. Yeah, the Prabhupada chant Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parayaprajakacharya, Stotra Satashi, Srimad, and not Srila anything, just Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada, not Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. When you do it as a standalone Srila Prabhupada, then you have the Srila. And if you're doing the Prema Dhvani, you don't need to.
Maharaj, heard somebody begin to literally left to this
dhyana. Yeah, for departed acharyas. Although Prabhupada didn't do that either, you've just heard. But it's not wrong. And while we're thinking of it, after you've said Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paripajaka Charja Sotra Sata Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace doesn't really add a whole lot. Prabhupada didn't do that either. So, I'm not, again, you will not be played if you do it, but it's not required. Yes? Some Sthapakachara. There's actually a GBC resolution that we should add after Prabhupada's first Jai Dvani, a ISKCON founder, Acharya Ki Jai. So some Sthapak means founder. Special importance for Prabhupada and for those who are loyal to GBC resolutions. It's very good. Well, then you can add other Acharyas. You can add. No harm. No one, nothing wrong with glorifying previous acharyas, but do it in order at least if you do it, and don't skip. Yes.
Can you play that one more time?
Yep. Let's see if this was a short one. Sometimes Prabhupada might have shortened them. Let's see. Yeah, Prabhupada didn't say Tulsi Devi Ki Jai or Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, which he usually did. And sometimes Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. So it's only that much shorter. Nope. Now, not to say that you can't say Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai, especially if it's December, but Prabhupada didn't, just to answer your question. Yeah, Ganga Mayi and Jamuna Mayi. You're right, it's shorter. Prabhupada used to chant Ganga Mayi and Jamuna Mayi. But, by the way, Tulsi Devi, Bhakti Devi, he never put them together. That's become a thing in Tulsi Arti, especially around here now. I don't see him this year, but there's a devotee who used to chant in the Tulsi Kirtan. Jaya Tulsi Devi, Jaya Bhakti Devi, Jaya Tulsi Devi, Jaya Bhakti Devi. How many have heard that? Okay. How many believe that Tulsi Devi and Bhakti Devi are the same person? How many are sure that they're not? How many don't know? They're not. Tulsi Devi is Tulsi Devi and Bhakti Devi is Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She's not Tulsi Devi. Alone alone. Tulsi Devi is one person, Bhakti Devi is another. So this Tulsi Devi, Bhakti Devi, God knows where it came from. It's weird. Yes. Vrinda is another name of either one. She's a Devi, it's okay. But the prayer, by the way, is Vrindayai Tulsi Devi. For those who hear it, Tulsi Vrindayai Tulsi Devi, it's Vrindayai Tulsi Devi. And while we're on it, tell them. Oh, that doesn't matter. Krishna Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti. But it's A Nivedana. For those who hear A Nivedana, it ain't. Nivedana. Nivedana means? An offering. Nivedana. Nivedana is a non-existing word. Yes? Yes, Tulsi is not a long A. Tulasi, yeah. That's one of those things from the West. Yes, last one. Yeah, well, Shakya Swami, yeah, it's okay. Gaudiya Math doesn't. Prabhupada didn't, but Gaudiya Math typically does. Not that nothing can be, nothing else is possibly, but it's gotten out of hand. And if you stick with what Prabhupada had, you won't be wrong. Okay, we're moving on, as we said we would. Yes, we are. Yes.
Instead of Sri Radha Krishna, I've heard many devotees at their temples.
Yeah, I get. There's no end to opportunities for creativity. I don't know whether Prabhupada would say it's okay or not okay. Since I don't know, I don't do it. Maybe other people are more confident. But presumably, your deities are Radha Krishna. You know, Radha Madhava happens to be, they're still Radha Krishna, even if we call them Radha Madhava. Somebody told me that they didn't name their deities, that they've got the only Radha Krishna deities in all of ISKCON.
I've heard that the deities in Los Angeles were actually called Radha Krishna.
Yeah, of course they're called Radha Krishna. They're still called Radha Krishna.
But the Prabhupada didn't name them?
No, he did. He called them Rukmini Dwarkadish. There's some story that this is, you know, that Prabhupada being a rasic bhakta and a devotee of Radha Krishna would never have named the deities Rukmini Dwarkadish. But we have extremely reliable testimony that Srila Prabhupada did indeed name them Rukmini Dwarkadish. There are a lot of stories out there. That one devotee in his better days told me a story, and I've heard it told many times, and I have confidence therefore that it's a true story, that he asked that Prabhupada said, or he asked Prabhupada what they could call the deities, or else Prabhupada said what they could, he said, you can call him Dwarkadish. And Chaitirtha said, Radha Dwarkadish. He said, Prabhupada got this very mournful expression. He said, Radharani has no scope for Dwarkadish. He said, Rukmini Dwarkadish. So this story that Prabhupada, you know, that didn't come from Prabhupada, comes from the place that so many stories come from. Storyland. Okay, we're moving on past the words. We hope that we get the words right. If you just get the words right, you're so far ahead of the pack. Now we're getting on to more complicated and esoteric things like melodies, which we've touched on briefly. Letter to Ekyani Dasi, 31 August 71. Any tune can be used. When it is in relationship with Krishna, that makes it bona fide. On the other hand, Prabhupada said, but so far as I know, that the kirtan tune is a specific representation of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and this tune is appreciated all over India as unique. They say that the kirtan tune is the specific gift of Bengal, and that is a fact. So Prabhupada appreciated these traditional melodies. Oh, Niranjan Marsh last night chanted, we were in Sridhar Marsh's room, he chanted that melody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Prabhupada particularly appreciated that melody and told us to chant it. That's why, that's how it got instituted in the evening arti. Very beautiful melody, and Prabhupada especially appreciated it. Just as a side note.
Kirtan melody is referring to which melody, the kirtan melody?
No, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
The kirtan melody he's referring to in this quote?
In this quote, no. He said Bengali melodies, Bengali kirtan. There are many. But Prabhupada particularly selected that one out on one occasion as being very beautiful, and asked the devotees to learn it and chant it. And so we did. Yes?
Is it to be chanted in morning or evening or any time?
Especially that was chanted in the evening. What's to be chanted in the morning?
Morning.
The morning tune. Thank you very much. Is that the morning tune? No. Okay. Now, let's see. Here comes a relevant instruction from Srila Prabhupada, conveyed to us by Tejas Prabhu. Tejas Prabhu was the temple president of New Delhi during Prabhupada's time here in India, and he received many, many, many instructions from Srila Prabhupada. Some devotees Prabhupada was always like in a kind of a jolly exchange with, or didn't say very much to, but Tejas Prabhupada singled him out for instructions. He gave him many, many instructions about how he wanted things done. And here's what Tejas Prabhu says. Of note to you, perhaps, is an instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave many, many, many times, mostly to leaders, but on occasion to groups of devotees. He withheld this instruction from general assemblies, my understanding being that he did not want to discourage devotees from chanting, even when the chanting was not properly done. This instruction, I have noted, is one of Srila Prabhupada's pet peeves, one of the things that annoyed him the most of all the ways that kirtan was being done. We had a kirtan at the Ram Leela grounds, 1976 March, and Dinanath was leading, and tens of thousands were attending and chanting. After the program, Srila Prabhupada and I were alone in the back tent, waiting for his servant and the car. As you know, he would often ask rhetorical questions. And he asked me, "So, what did you think of the kirtan?" Understanding this was just a lead-in to his giving me an instruction, I answered with a bland, "It was okay." Srila Prabhupada's definition to me then was as follows. No, it was not nice. It was clanging and banging. Kirtan should be sweet and melodious. Come, let us go to the ashram and have kirtan. And so we went, Srila Prabhupada, his servant, Bharadraj, and myself. Except his servant, the three of us sat in his room, and Bharadraj played harmonium on the request of Srila Prabhupada, and we had a long kirtan. Of course, exactly the opposite of your Ten Commandments. Those who came earlier may have received a copy of our Ten Commandments for this kind of kirtan, which were sarcastic commandments. On Srila Prabhupada's signal, the kirtan ended. He looked at me, smiling, a little shaking his head, and said, "So, sweet and melodious." And then he moved on with the rest of preaching and hearing. I had heard him say that he also said, sometimes stopping kirtan and saying, "No screaming and shouting." So kirtan is not clanging and banging, screaming and shouting. Kirtan is sweet and melodious. The beautiful song to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a small ray of the beauty of that song would enter the heart, then one would be so overflooded with love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, that one could only sing his holy names and the name of his divine consort with sweetness and melodiousness. Who led kirtan this morning? Govinda Maharaj. Was it sweet and melodious? And Niranjan Maharaj led kirtan the other day? Was it sweet and melodious? Lokanath Maharaj leads sweet and melodious kirtan? Prabhupada said kirtan should be sweet and melodious. Yes?
You mentioned about screaming and shouting. Sometimes during the japa period.
I'm not going to talk about japa. This is a kirtan workshop. We're running out of time. We'll talk about japa another day. Okay. Yes? Quickly?
I heard that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati once mentioned that the devotee was not very well singing, and
Yeah, sweet and melodious doesn't mean that you have to be like a bhajan singer. That's a different sweet and melodious. That's syrupy. Sweet doesn't mean it has to be like thick gulab jamun juice. You know. It doesn't mean cloyingly sweet. Artificially sweet. But genuinely sweet and melodious in devotional service. Not sweet like the professional bhajan singers. Yes.
There is a devotee I'm writing to. He is very enthusiastic. He wants to sing. And because of problems, he has to sing very loud and shout. No one can, you know, say anything because they don't want to discourage him. So in that situation, but
special case, I'm not going to say anything about it. Regarding your question about kirtan, letter to Jadarani, 26 May 1969, practically we are not concerned with the instruments. They are used sometimes to make it sweeter, but if we divert our attention for using the instruments more, that is not good. Generally, kirtan is performed with mridanga and kartals, but if somebody is expert instrument player, he can be admitted to join sankirtan. We can accept everything for Krishna's service, but not taking the risk of diverting attention to any other thing which will hinder our Krishna consciousness. That should be our model or principle. Letter to Rupanuga, 2nd February 75. Regarding instruments for temple kirtans, kartal and mridanga are sufficient. There is no need of other instruments. Letter to Bahudak. January 76. The harmonium may be played during bhajan if there is someone who can play melodiously, but it is not for kirtan and arti. Another letter to Bahudat, 10 November 75. Regarding the instruments, stringed instruments are Vedic, but the real Vedic instrument is mridanga and kartal. Anyway, you have to do according to the time and circumstances if you use these other instruments. So you have got my approval and can go on. Room conversation, December 26, 1976, Bombay. The other musical instrument, if he plays, his attention will be diverted in musical instrument, not to the chanting. We have to see melody, whether it is going on nicely, but that is not good. Our concentration should be hearing Hare Krishna. That is bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply this kartal, kol, that's all. In those days, of course, there was no harmonium, but many stringed instruments were there, sitar, esraj, but these things were not used. Sometimes we do use to attract, but it is not required. Okay? I think I'm not going to elaborate on these instructions. I think they're pretty clear. Yes? Yeah, as I said, we're not going to elaborate, I think, because I want to move on, but that's clear. Regarding professional musicians, as I have already written to you, Mukunda, 2nd July 69, we should not try to become a very popular musical party. Music is one of our items for chanting, but we are not musicians. We should always remember this fact. The best example is that we take advantage of the typewriting machine, but that does not mean we are professional typists. Another letter to Mal Krishna Marsh, 30th October 69. I'm shortening it. Practicing is already done by kirtan. It is not required for us to become artists. Our main point is service to Krishna, not to please an audience. We shall not divert our attention too much to adjustments of musical sounds. People should not misunderstand that we are a band of musical artists. They must know that we are devotees of Krishna. Our devotional practice and purity shall be so strong that wherever we chant, there will be immediately an impression in the audience for devotion to Krishna. again, Tamal Krishna, 8th February, 70. But one thing we must remember, that we are not professional musicians or concert party. Our main business is to vibrate the holy name of Krishna everywhere, so that the people will be benefited by hearing the transcendental sound. The musical training is not so important as it is to keep ourselves spiritually fit in spiritual trains, spiritual strength. That we should not forget. If we are in spiritual strength, there will be no scarcity of money, and the spiritual strength is that each and every one of us must chant the 16 rounds of beads and follow the rules and regulations with great adherence. Another letter, Mahatma, 10 April 72. So if you have talent for musical achievement, that is nice, but if you nourish some idea of becoming famous by playing some music, that will be a source of frustration. The end. So it is better if you play your music for Krishna by having very ecstatic kirtans in your center in Vancouver, and in this way, as I have introduced it, all of the devotees and also the general public as well will be able to join together cooperatively in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not that we shall glorify anyone else. Let the materialists operate in their own way, but we of God Vaishnavism stand, and we should train the general public to accept it and come up to our platform of process of doing things, not that we should reduce to their standard. Another letter, Jagadish Pandit, 28 December 74. My opinion is that it is not necessary for us to utilize these different musical talents for spreading Krishna consciousness. I would rather see people follow strictly the path of Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan devotees. We are using Mridanga, Kartal, that is enough. We are not musicians, we are Krishna Bhaktas. Therefore, we do not stress so much importance on these different musical talents. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. Had he thought it would have been better to spread Krishna consciousness by another way, he would have done so. But no, simply with Mridanga and Kartal, traveling and chanting Hare Krishna, asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna, preaching simply Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy, this is the process. There is no need for us to try and add anything to this simple method. It will only be a distraction. Therefore, I request you to follow the simple path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and help me spread this wonderful mission all over the world. Keep yourself pure and fixed up in Krishna consciousness by following the basic principles that I have given, chanting 16 rounds daily, following the four regulative principles, rising early, attending Mangalarti in classes, etc. This is of the utmost importance. Another letter. Well, I've got lots of them, actually. Then I've got... This gets quite expansive, actually. I have too many of these quotations. But then there's Jiva Dharma, chapter 3. There was a Brahmin singer from Shantipur, Kalidas Lahiri. Early in life, while still a young boy, experts in the field of Indian classical music had taught him, and he considered that such instruction qualified him to occasionally lead the kirtan sessions of the Vaishnavas. However, when previously he had led some kirtans, the Vaishnavas were apparently not fond of his typically palace court classical touch. Nonetheless, he had introduced these classical variations into the kirtans, oblivious of the Vaishnava's feelings. Attempting to parade his musical ability, he had stared at the faces of the Vaishnavas, awaiting a response, hoping for some appreciation. For quite some days now, this had continued. However, quite suddenly, a few days earlier, he had unexpectedly started to feel increasing pleasure in singing Harinam. And therefore, in chapter 4, he lost all interest in trivial talks as well as classical music. Thus, a metamorphosis took place in Lahiri Mahashai. He was now a Vaishnava. So that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instruction. And then there's the incident you mentioned, that at the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's passing away, he expressed a desire to hear Sri Rupa Manjari Pada sung. And so a very accomplished kirtan leader began to chant, at Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stopped the kirtan and pointed to Srila B.R. Sridhar Maharaj and said, no, he should sing. Although he was not especially noted for being a proficient kirtan singer, but the devotion was appreciated. If you'll stay another 5 or 10 minutes, I'll tell you a little more or express a few more pet peeves and that sort of thing. Style is not the thing. Letter to Satsrut Maharaj, 30th June, 76. With regard to your question about Bengali style kirtan and mridanga playing, one or two styles is best. To introduce more styles is not good. It will become an encumbrance. If we introduce so much emphasis on style of kirtan, then simply imitation will go on. Devotional emotion is the main thing. If we give stress to instrument and style, then attention will be diverted to the style. That will be spiritual loss. There are several more quotations about this, more or less to the same effect, that Prabhupada wasn't impressed by professionalism and style. He was interested in pure devotional service. I'm speeding, my apologies for this. In Prabhupada's method of leading kirtan was to begin very slowly and slowly build up the speed. Just as in Indian classical music, which we've just disparaged, but they begin with the alap, the slow movement, and then they develop to speed. It's become typical in ISKCON Kirtan that they start with Mach 2, and then where can they go? Yeah, Mach 3, I suppose. Or else they have to do this business of speeding up and stopping, and speeding up and stopping, and speeding up and stopping. But Prabhupada didn't do it. He started slowly and then built up. There's also the two-speed metronome kirtan, where you go slow or a little slow, and then at a certain point, by the decree usually of the mridanga player, all of a sudden everything goes zipping away. So you have like the two-speed metronome kirtan. But Prabhupada's method was to gradually build up the speed. Of course, you can do it any which way. That's just an observation. But by starting slow and then gradually building up, you give everyone the opportunity to enter into the devotional mood and meditation, which Prabhupada said is what the kirtan is really about, the emotion, not the show. While we're on that, Prabhupada used to chant typically one tune. And now in a modern ISKCON kirtan, they do the gravastakam, say there's 20-minute arti. So 15 minutes is gravastakam. 3 minutes or 5 minutes is try something, 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 something. That leaves you maybe seven or eight minutes for kirtan. And that 7 or 8 minutes, there's 5 different tunes. And then where will you get your development of appreciating the kirtan? B.B. Govindamaraj told me his philosophy of kirtan. He says, you just dig a groove and let them fall into it. You don't have to do all these manipulations and maneuvers. You just dig a groove and let them fall into it. If you don't chant more than one tune, that's fine, especially if you have 10 minutes only. This is a recording of Madhava Das. Madhava Das is one of our very nice kirtaniyas who chants with Indra in Vrindavan, the 24-hour kirtan. It's a lousy recording, but I think you'll get the idea. If it connects properly. Oh, come on, you're supposed to be here. Let me see if it's back. This is the beginning of the kirtan. Not really the beginning, that's part way into it. This is about 30 minutes into the kirtan. About 60 minutes, 65 minutes into the same kirtan. So for those who think that one tune can't be sustained for more than 7 minutes without the devotees losing interest and falling into depression or boredom, there's a kirtan of more than an hour, one tune. And when you hear the whole track, it's just beautiful. You know, you can just go on listening and listening. It's just so, you know, it's just like milking the cow and just getting more and more sweet milk. One tune. Okay, you know, he builds it up and lets it fall. You can, if you're going for an hour, you want to change your pace a little bit. But that's so much different from speeding up and stopping and speeding up and stopping and changing tune 4 times all within the course of 10 minutes. You know, if you're going to do that, my recommendation is that you also have at least 7 people accompanying you on the kazoo. Chant tunes people can follow. Kirtan is meant to be sung kirtan. Everyone should join in. It helps if you chant easy, familiar tunes that people can join in. Especially if you, unless you're going to be working with the same people and you're going to teach them the tune. But if you're just going to jump right into it and have them all bewildered looking around, what's the point? No, time's too short. Sing in a comfortable pitch. Same reason, you want people to join. If you're up in the stratosphere or down in the depths, they can't join you. We probably don't need to max out the amplifiers. This is from Transcendental Diary, Hari Sari, page 149. For more than a month, Prabhupada has had to ask daily that devotees not use the microphone for performing kirtan. Quote, they think that their voice becomes sweet from using it. Actually, they sound exactly like a rakshasa. For those interested in the physiological effects of loud amplification, I refer you to my article on noise-induced hearing loss at www.krishna.com/JAS. We have a number of senior kirtan leaders and other devotees who have serious impairments in hearing, which may or may not be directly related to kirtan, but read the essay. Mridanga players should chant Hare Krishna. It's good for the mridanga players to chant Hare Krishna, and they should follow the leader. This is from Prabhupada Nectar, 122. Prabhupada was present during a kirtan performed by his disciples in the Brooklyn Temple The mridanga player had been practicing to learn complicated beats, and he was demonstrating his rapid and intricate abilities in the kirtan. But Prabhupada stopped the music and said to the drummer that he should follow the leader. Then he started the kirtan again, but it happened again. And again Prabhupada stopped the kirtan and asked the drummer to follow the leader. I have some very, very nice quotations from Gopal Prabhu, who's another of our 24-hour kirtaniyas from Vrindavan. And he's very clear and strong on this point of following the leader. He's a good person to talk to about philosophy of instruments and so on. Ending up, kartals, learn how to play them. Kripamoya Prabhu says they are musical instruments, not just percussion instruments. They're not played like that. They have a sound to them. There's a difference between this and, if you don't know the difference, my goodness, I don't know what to tell you. There is a difference. You should know. There are many Bengali boys here who know how to play very nicely. There are also many Bengali boys here who don't know how to play very nicely. So select out some who know how to play nicely, and if you don't know how to do it, learn from them. It was one of the first things that I was taught back in 1968 in my first week at the temple, was how to play kartals. I think such instruction, judging by the kirtans I hear, is no longer given. Govinda Maharaj, by the way, trains his disciples to play kartals softly. They sound sweet, they don't drown out the leader. And he told me that this way, if somebody's playing the kartals wrong, it's not so conspicuous. They're playing softly, so the other kartal players will get it right. So he trains his kartal players to play softly. I mean, you hear, you know, then you can hear 10 kartal players and all chiming in, and it sounds beautiful. But 10 people all doing that other thing, which I won't even subject you to again, that's, again, for the kirtan of the Rakshasas. So, sweet and melodious, not clanging and banging. Try to learn how to do it nicely. You don't need to be a professional musician. Just need to be sincere and get the words right. All right, a couple of questions and then we'll answer. Maji?
That raga, Hare Krishna.
I don't know where it comes from. There's a lot of ragas that I don't know where they come from, but they come from different places, and some of them really are beautiful. Some of them are so complicated that I could never get them. And that one's really nice, though, if you ask me. Yeah.
Are there ragas that are particular to the West?
Yes, there are. There ragas that are particular to the West. There's a lot of raggedness that's particular to the West. I don't know if ragas that are particular to the West. There, once you get into raga theory, there's ragas for different times of the day and so on. There's a lot you can learn about ragas. I never did. Srila Prabhupada never emphasized it, but the one thing he did emphasize with this morning tune, it's a morning raga. The rest of them, maybe those who know a little more than I do, a lot more than I do, can say something. Yes? Wampers, yes. Kripamoya Prabhu mentioned them. The wampers actually make their sound, those chajas. They have those little ovals in them, or those little semicircles. And when you put them together, they make a kind of a sound like But people who don't know that and don't know how to play those chajas think that what you're supposed to do is bang, 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 bang. And I guess the next step from that is garbage can lids. Yes.
Sometimes a leader stops the kirtan.
A leader stops the kirtan.
Just to follow them. Is that?
That may be all right. You know, you're chanting and nobody else is there with you, so then you start off and you instruct your audience in chanting. That we may sometimes do. But it's just the stopping and starting as a musical technique. To, you know, the idea is that somehow or other, if you just chant Hare Krishna and people hear and repeat, they're not going to get into ecstasy. So you have to manipulate them in some way to jack them up, as they say. But actually, if we have faith in the power of the holy name, and if we just chant, straightforwardly and simply and with devotion, then as you're hearing this kirtan by Madhava, just everybody falls into the groove that Govinda Maharaj was talking about. Those who've been sometimes hearing kirtans, especially in Sridhar Maharaj's room that have been going on in the evenings. Niranjan Maharaj has been leading, Sridharan Maharaj has been leading. Most beautiful kirtan. Nothing but kartals and mridanga and sincere devotees. You don't need more than that. Yes?
I heard that Jai Radhamadava was actually a night Radha. Actually, it's like a slow.
I don't know. Yes?
A lot of these melodies that came after the songs, they come from Hindi film songs?
Certainly a lot of the stuff that's been introduced more recently comes from all sorts of sources, and especially the things introduced by the more beautiful kirtan leaders. I mentioned the story the other day that there was some kirtan leader, not even a kirtan leader, so like one of those people who sings and before the deities in one temple, one of our devotees, and he was singing, you know, Krishna. And the temple president had several times instructed him not to chant that way, just to chant simply and straightforwardly. And next time I visited the temple, I heard that he'd left because he'd gotten involved in some illicit connection with a woman and had left the temple. So we don't need that. Yes?
Well, I'm just trying to general question. So much. Then you are now exactly from this. So how rare that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of establishing change.
Yes.
So what happens next?
What happens next? Well, that's up to you, isn't it? That's why we're having this seminar, so that at least in Bhagavad Gita there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. So I've tried to pass on to you some instructions from Srila Prabhupada, and now it's up to you to do as you like. There are things that may not be bad that are recent introductions, and they may or may not be, they may be good or bad. Certainly you won't go wrong with what Srila Prabhupada himself introduced or what we hear from people he instructed he wanted to have as the standard. So now it's up to you and your spiritual authorities. I don't want to overstep your spiritual authorities and tell you to do things or suggest to you that things are terrible if they're done some other way. Well, sometimes I want to suggest that it's terrible. But I don't think we should have warfare and throwing instruments at one another or anything of that sort. But this information you can share with others. You can assimilate it. You can decide what to do about it. You can share it. Those who want this file that I'm referring to can get it from me on disk. There's a video being made of this class, and you can order it from the MIHE, thereby benefiting the MIHE and perhaps people who might learn something from the video. And we can try to improve our kirtan, mainly by understanding the essence of kirtan. The essence of kirtan is not professionalism. The essence of kirtan is not inventiveness. The essence of kirtan is not how great your voice is or how many mantras you know. The essence of kirtan, Prabhupada said, is your emotion, your sincere devotional feeling for Krishna. And you're chanting Anukirtanam. Anukirtanam means following the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas. We have many super excellent kirtan leaders in ISKCON. As I mentioned in the beginning, they may do one or another of the things that I've mentioned disparagingly in this class, but they have such a taste for the holy name of Krishna. You know, when you're Govinda Maharaj, you can do anything. And he has such a taste for the holy name of Krishna that I don't care what he does. But we're not Govinda Maharaj. We're not Radhanath Maharaj. We're not Niranjan Maharaj. These people have such a taste for the holy name of Krishna that even if I hear something that, you know, transgresses one of my principles, they have such a taste for the holy name that I could only wish that I had a taste like that. And that's the essence of the kirtan, to have that taste for the holy name of Krishna. That's what we're aspiring for, to have dedication to kirtan, taste for kirtan, to wish to be absorbed in kirtan. And at the same time, these instructions, remembering these instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given us, will help us to get that taste, to get that absorption. The imitative, mechanical kirtan chanted by people who don't have that same taste, but who are just doing what they think they should do and don't really know what they should do, is not as attractive, is not as tasteful, is not as ecstatic, even if it's filled with all sorts of techniques that are supposed to arouse ecstasy. The essence of the thing is the holy name of Krishna. It's Krishna himself who appears in the form of the holy name. So as we quoted in the beginning, that the disciple tries to chant, worshipping the holy name with the same respect as his spiritual master. And then the holy name manifests his potency, and the devotee becomes ecstatic, and the influence of the holy name spreads all over the world. And that's what we're trying for. Alright, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Stay in.